Pastor, thank you, my dear friend, for allowing us to come. And usually folks want to have us in just for Sandy. But I appreciate you having us in. I really do. And I felt this when I came in this morning. It just felt like coming home. And I appreciate that. I really do. As I said in Sunday school, part of that might have been because we see PD's face on Facebook ever so often. And so we appreciate your prayers, and we enjoy coming. I miss seeing people. But boy, we're having a great time doing what God's given us to do. I don't miss pastoring. There's some things I don't miss about pastoring. If I missed anything, it would be watching people grow, and seeing when the light came on, and then seeing people when they get saved, you know, when they understand. I love that. But I didn't enjoy getting my pedigree read just before I got into the pulpit, and things, the troubles and the headaches and the pressures that go with pastoring. That's why I always say, pray for your pastor. Because you don't understand all the weight that he carries on his shoulders, and all the prayers that he does for you. And so I appreciate pastors, I really do. And I really appreciate my friends, and so I thank you. This is the time of year. I mean, how many of you would like to celebrate Christmas year-round? Some of you are going, I don't know whether to give in to that, to be a sucker to give in to that or not. I'm not talking about the giving and receiving of gifts. I believe we ought to celebrate the birth of Jesus year-round. I believe we ought to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection year-round. It ought to be something we remember all the time. And not just on Sunday. I know we come together on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great thing to be excited about. But I'm telling you, the greatest gift that's ever been given was when Jesus left his throne in heaven and came to earth, became man, God incarnate, and gave his life to pay for the penalty of sin. Wow. He is indeed a wonderful, wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful God. Just verses 6 and 7, and we're going to just read it, and then we're going to go back and just look at a couple of things in verse 6 that I want us to think about this morning. Pastor, what time do I need to be done? There's a clock here, so I want to make sure and watch this one. Before noon? Oh, good luck. No, I will. I'll watch it. Can we keep PD longer? Begin in verse 6. Verse 6. We better get into this before it gets out of hand. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Sometimes I know as a young preacher even, I didn't grasp the importance of this prophecy. I mean, I preached on Isaiah 9 many times, Isaiah chapter 7, and the promises of the Messiah, but I don't know if we realize that there were many, in the 22nd Psalm, do you know that there are 30 some prophecies that are answered and fulfilled in that one psalm? God allowed Isaiah to look forward 700 years to see the birth of the Messiah. I don't know if that's amazing to you, but it is to me. It's amazing when we see how the Word of God is put together. And it's like fitting pieces of a puzzle. And we see it all the way from the beginning of Genesis clear through to the end of Revelation. And there are some pieces that aren't in place yet, but the next one that's about to go in place is the rapture. Amen. That ought to make a Baptist shout. I mean, we ought to get excited about the things of God. And that's why I get excited about this Christmas time. I used to be a Scrooge, because I hated listening to Christmas songs in October, when everybody was putting them on. And then I saw this picture of, I know I shouldn't do this in a church, but a picture of the Thanksgiving turkey and Santa Claus. And the turkey was speaking to Santa and said, "It's not your time yet. This is Thanksgiving. This is my time." And then I saw a cartoon this year I shared with a lot of folks that showed a turkey looking at the weather report and says, and this was for the day before Thanksgiving, it says, "Weather report for tomorrow, 350 degrees. And the turkey saying, "This can't be." But it's an exciting time of year. And I used not to like the music until I started listening to Squire Parsons' Christmas songs. And then it brought everything back into focus. And I realized that, okay, the world may commercialize it. But you know, as a child of God, I have something to praise about it. Because it's the birth of our Savior. And when God gives this vision to Isaiah to look 700 years in the future, I can only imagine what it was like. No wonder, because of the prophecy of the Messiah, no wonder that the shepherds got so excited. No wonder that the king got fearful, because they said he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't want another king. But I have to tell you, he may have been king on earth, but there's only one king of heaven, and that's our Savior. It says, "For unto us a child is born." You remember when the heavenly host and the angel of God spoke to the shepherds, they said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When I was pastoring in Kansas, before we ever came to Texas for the second time, I had a man that filled in for me during the Christmas season, and he preached a message, and I, as a pastor, I felt I needed to listen to the messages to see what was being preached while I was away, and just to keep touch. And I listened to the message, and it came to one point, and I just shook my head. Here's what he said. He was born, they didn't know what to name him, and so they called him "Hey You" until he was 12 years old. I ran that back. It was cassette back in that time. So I ran it back, listened to it again. So I called him and I said, "Could you come over for just a moment? I'd like to visit with you." And I love this guy to death. You know, his name was Ernie. Not like the Muppets. But I said, "Would you read this passage for me?" And took him to Luke chapter 1, where the promise was, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." And I said, "Ernie, I just want you to know I love you, but can I just school you just a little bit?" His name was already picked out, and it was exclaimed, just like John's was already picked out, and it was given to him from heaven. And so I just wanted to just make that correction. Listen, I'm thankful that my preacher corrected me on some things, you know, and helped me to know that. I shouldn't throw this in. You know, when it talks about prophecy, and it's talking about the time of the Lord coming, and talks about there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. As a young preacher who was wet behind the ears, I taught that that was a place where divers went to. Now, that may happen. It might be that way. But then when I realized the simplicity of the Word of God and that divers means many, oh, I was so ashamed. I had to ask for God's forgiveness, and then I had to ask for our people's forgiveness, the people I was pastoring, because I said, I've preached this wrong. I'm glad when God brings correction. And I'm glad when we have the truth and can know that we have a Savior who is mighty, He's wonderful, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We want to look at two names this morning, and I won't keep you very long, I pray. I want to look at Wonderful and the Everlasting Father. Our wonderful Lord. Some people don't understand how wonderful He is. Do you know, He took my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I'm telling you, God took something that was a piece of trash and made it into something valuable to Him. Now my wife often wonders how valuable I am. I'm just teasing. Maybe. But I'm valuable, and those who are, every one of us are valuable to God. But He ought to be valuable to us. When you think about Him being our wonderful Lord, Jesus was wonderful in heaven where He was active. I mean, He has always existed. He didn't just show up at the birth. Jesus has been around since the beginning of time. I mean, when God said, let us make man in our own image, He wasn't just out there talking to so-and-so. He was talking to God the Father, or God the Father was talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And everything about us, our makeup, we as a human being, this universe, everything about every of His creation is all a picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's all in threes. It pictures a triune God. Jesus has been active. Turn to John chapter 1. Just, I know we know these things, but isn't it good to be reminded? Just the simple things. But I want us to see in John chapter 1, begin with me in verse number 1. That's a good place to start. Look at verses 1 through 5 for just right now. We'll get to some of the other in just a little bit. In the beginning was the Word. That ought to be capitalized because it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I have to tell you, that same situation is still here, because the light, Jesus Christ, is shining in the darkness of this world. And that's what you and I are to be. We're to be like a candle. We're like to be a light that lights the world with the message of Jesus Christ. He ought to be showing up through Him, because He is the only light for a lost soul. He's the only hope for this world. I don't get political, but it just really upsets me the way things are going. But I just know this, it has to get worse before it gets better. And we have to keep in mind and keep in focus and understand that Jesus is the light of the world. And the greatest need in America is not another program. And it's not this or this or this. It's Jesus. And as a child of God, we have the great honor and opportunity to tell the world about our wonderful Savior. To tell the world about the Messiah. To tell the world about the mighty God. To tell the world about an everlasting Father. That our Savior, our God, has been around since the beginning. He is and was and always will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We don't have to travel to far countries to see the handiwork of God. You can go just as close as outside your door. Just look up at the sky at night. Just look at the amazing things that are in the sky. The constellations and the things. I mean, everything shows the handiwork of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And not anything that was made that was not made by Him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll look at one more and then we'll go on. say, why are you having turned to Scripture? Well, number one, I want you to see it's God that says it, not me. Secondly, I'm trying to keep you awake. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means many, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power, a word of his power, when he had made, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It's talking about our Savior. It's talking about that he, from the beginning of time, it set forth that he was going to give his life and shed his blood upon a cross, and then he is seated at the right hand of God. He is just waiting for God to say, go get them. And then we're out of here. I'm like the Apostle John anymore. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But there's still a message to carry that our Lord is wonderful. He's always existed. Secondly, Jesus was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. Sandy and I were talking about that it's always been, I don't want to call it a tradition, but it's always been a part of our Christmas to sit down and read in Luke chapter 2. Do you just, bless you, by the way. Do you ever just wonder and watch as it all unfolds? Wouldn't you, I don't know about you, I would love to be able to do time travel. Maybe that'll come, I don't know. Well, I guess it will when the Lord calls us out of here. You know? But I would love to be able to travel back and just watch. Just stand off to the side and watch as the shepherds receive the news. To watch the looks on their faces. Do you know a lot can be read of a person by the look on their face? People can tell whether or not you're happy. They can tell whether or not you're mad. Just watch people as they drive past you. They tell you just sit at the mall and watch people. Number one, I can't believe what they wear to the mall. But number two, you look at their faces and there's so few happy people. They just need Jesus. The sad thing is when God's people haven't notified their face yet that they're happy. If we're happy, it ought to show. It ought to be exciting to us that we have eternal life and that we have a Savior who's so wonderful. And when he arrived, it was such a glorious birth. I mean, it was a supernatural birth. It was a supernatural thing, but it was a fulfillment of prophecy. And for Jesus to come at that time, everything was set in order. It all happened the way God wanted it to happen. I just get amazed. When we look at how things happen, we don't have time to get into it, but I'm just telling you, when we see the announcement that came to Elizabeth and Zacharias that they were going to have John, and then that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, and how Joseph handled everything, and then when Mary went to see Elizabeth, and oh, I would just like to have seen the reaction. I know that there had to be some hand and foot action in Elizabeth's womb when Mary greeted her, and because of the Messiah, John, the forerunner of Jesus, 6 months in the womb right now, I just see him pushing all over the place having a hallelujah fit. Being excited. That's why Christmas ought to be exciting for us. Well, I've got some friends that have lost the excitement of it. Well, it's just... You know, it is what we make it. I think it ought to be something exciting. I think it'll look at it as every opportunity to share the gospel. When he arrived, wow. Everything was planned exact place God wanted him to be born. And the promises, the shepherds, the salutation, fear not. Them coming with haste in verse 16. And when they had seen it, then they made known abroad. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I've been there. I was there when all four of our kids were born. Well, my wife was too. But I remember those times of holding them or watching them, watching each one of them in the cradle or in the crib. Boy, they looked so innocent, didn't they? I wish they'd have stayed innocent. But Jesus did. Can you imagine the glow about him? I don't know. I wasn't there. Contrary to popular belief, I didn't live back then. So you have to ask Brother P.D. But I'm just saying that it must have been amazing to look down upon our wonderful Savior who arrived fulfilling all those blessed promises and one purpose for why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost, to pay for the penalty of your sin and mine. That's why he came. That's why he was called and known as the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. It's because he's a special Messiah and Savior. He is wonderful. Amen. Then number three, we're halfway. What time is it? I'll make it. Jesus was wonderful on earth where he associated with men. We're there in John chapter 1. We were there. Go back to there if you would. I just want you to see some things because I just think it's amazing. In John chapter 1, I'll get there soon enough too. Goes on to say in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, or of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, capital L by the way, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. It's amazing as we read through the 3.5 years of his ministry. And as we read through those different instances, I love there in Luke chapter 4. And I love when he sits down and he sits down with the, they're gathered in the synagogue, and he asks for a book, and they hand him the book of Isaiah. And he reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And it says there in that after he was done reading, he handed it back to the minister, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Man, I had a shouting fit when I read that. Here's our Savior, our wonderful Lord, our wonderful Savior, who's walking among mankind, revealing himself in his ministry about who he is. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm telling you, those people who recognized who he was and believed, what a great thing it was to follow Jesus. Can you imagine what it would have been like to follow with him, even though they didn't understand totally when he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men and women and children besides? Because later on, they asked how he was going to do it, and you know what he was going to feed, and said, "Have you so soon forgotten?" That's not exact words that he did, but he's just saying, "Don't you remember? What have I to do with thee?" I don't know. To me, that would have been amazing. And then I would love, again, this time travel, I would love to see the looks on their faces when he said, "Now pick up all the crumbs." Yeah. We do it today with a broom. He said, "Go out and pick up all the crumbs." And who would have thunk it? 12 baskets full. There's not a beautiful picture of missions. Right there it is. Because he brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That little boy did. And Jesus multiplied it, fed everybody. They were all satisfied. Picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And I can just see as that little boy took those. And I think there had to be somebody help carry him back. Take 12 baskets full back home and say, "Mom, you're not going to believe it. This is what you sent me out with. Look at this." And I wonder how long it lasted them. That was our Jesus. That's the Messiah. The lame men that were healed. The blind who were given sight. The woman who knew if she could just but touch the hem of his garment that she would be healed of her issue of blood. The people who met Jesus and their lives were changed forever. Because he came and walked among men. Our Savior, our wonderful Lord, our mighty God, everlasting Father. He was wonderful on earth. 4, Jesus was wonderful on earth where he atoned for our sins. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 11. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Amen. We have to go back to the book of Genesis. We'll not turn there. But we have to go back to what happened in the garden. We have to go back to the sin of man. God had given instruction. By the way, God's word is always true. It's always honest. It's always right. Amen. And God told Adam and Eve, "You can have of everything in the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest of it, ye shall surely die." You know how flippantly we get with God's word today? You say, "What do you mean? God says this and we don't believe it because we don't do it." Come on now. Don't go to sleep on me now. God's word is true. It endures forever. And when God told Adam and Eve that, he meant it. So when Eve partook of the fruit and gave to Adam, who willfully partook of it, was not deceived, he knew what he was doing, then their eyes were opened and they realized they had no clothes, they were naked, and they began, Adam put together fig leaves to try and cover their nakedness. And when God came into the garden and called out for Adam's name, he hid himself. And when Adam finally says, "We are here, we hid ourselves because we were naked," and God says, "Who told you that you were naked?" God already knew it all, but he was letting Adam have the opportunity to confess. And because of their sin, God made coverings for them, for the skin, with skins of animals, which means there was a precedent set forth that there had to be a payment for the sin. It's called blood. And all down through the Word of God, the pictures are there. The art gallery is there. That the payment for sin is the atoning blood of a lamb. Spotless, without blemish. That's why Jesus came. Because nobody else could atone for our sin but God himself. And so Jesus left his throne and was born in the likeness of man, in the image of man. And he, being God incarnate, God in flesh, walked among men for 3.5 years, beginning at the age of 30, 6 months after John began his ministry at the age of 30. And Jesus, for 3.5 years, proclaims who he is and reveals who he is to mankind. The reaction varied. Some were afraid. Some were mad that he even claimed to be equal with God. And then there were those who believed who were glad. And that day came, spoken of in the 22nd Psalm, the Psalm of the Cross, spoken of in other places where Jesus would willingly lay himself upon the cross and willingly was hung into the air and willingly was crucified and willingly paid for the penalty of our sin, which is death, with his blood. Amen. Why? Because that was the plan of God. Because the only way that we could be atoned. It's the only way the penalty could be paid. And so if a person believes in Jesus, they are covered in the blood of the Lamb. They are covered and they're protected. And I'm telling you, I know that if I drop dead of a heart attack, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Settle that one March 18th, 1975. He atoned for our sins. He hung in our place. He was beaten, persecuted. We could go through the whole description. No artist can come close to it. But God describes it in his word. And he did it all for you and I. Amen. Fifthly, Jesus was wonderful at the tomb where he arose from the dead. When you get home today, read the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And read the other Gospels, and even talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm telling you, it's all about a risen Savior. Talks about the death of the testator in Romans. And I'm telling you, it's just when you begin to see how God put it all together, and when Jesus died, he did die. He gave up the ghost. He said, "Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. He died. He was taken from that cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb. Hello, attention Walmart shoppers. There's a reason it says borrowed. He didn't need it for very long. 3 days and 3 nights, and then they came and found the tomb open by the power of God, and he is a risen Savior. Amen. He's not dead in the tomb. Amen. He's alive, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints, waiting, and this is our next point, waiting for the Father to say, "It's time." and the trump of God's going to sound, and there's going to be a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Man, that would be neat to be at the grave of my dad, or at Brother Gross, or anyone who's gone on before us in the Lord. Wouldn't it be fun to be standing in the cemetery and all of a sudden, the graves burst open? And we won't even have time to think, I'm next. Because it's going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, and we're out of here. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Because it could happen today. The sad thing is that there's some people who don't believe it. There's some people who are going to miss it because they don't know Jesus. Oh, that's not his return yet. That's just his appearing. Because at the end of the tribulation is when he's going to return. And when he returns, turn to the book of Philippians. You got to look at this. Because Jesus is wonderful in heaven where he anticipates his return. And I'm telling you, it's coming. And when it comes, it's going to be something. Not only is there going to be a battle, not only will the blood run as deep as the bridles and the bits, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be something else that's going to happen. Please don't get upset with me. It's a true fact. Even though the Democratic Party has decided they don't want God to be in a part of anything, and there are nations in the world who acknowledge themselves and say he is not God, they worship their own little g gods, but they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Savior. There are going to be those who to Jesus through the years, and the time's going to come when he returns and takes back the throne of David. They're going to fall flat on their face, and they'll have to acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you ask. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Our Savior is wonderful and is going to be, I don't know, though, just amazing when he comes back. Amen. You say, well, is that the only scripture? Well, later on, there's a whole lot. But in the 22nd Psalm, which is known as the Psalm of the Cross, I have to tell you that the first six verses deal with the Calvary. Actually, the first 18 verses deal with the issue of Calvary and such. But then in verse 22, it talks about the tremendous results of Calvary. And then in verses 27 through 31, Psalm 22, it talks about the Lord as Prince. And it talks about His return. It talks about He being proclaimed as King. I'm telling you, the Word of God is harmonious. It's going to happen. And when it does, it doesn't matter who they are and how powerful they are, they'll fall on their face and say, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whew. What a great coronation day that will be. All because we celebrate this great birth of such a great Messiah and Savior. He is wonderful. And there may be somebody here today, he needs to become wonderful to you. You need to be like the young man last night as I shared with him. I spent three different times on the phone talking to him for about an hour, hour and a half each time. Both those times he was drunk. And I said, I need to meet with you, but you don't need any alcohol. You don't need any drugs. You need to be clear of mind so I can talk to you face to face. And I said, understand, I shoot straight. I'm going to tell you, you don't need that stuff. It's just going to destroy you. But what you need, this is what the constant thing I told him over and over again, what you need is Jesus. And praise the Lord, last night, as we sat in Brahms, of all places, the smell of ice cream was very heavy. But the sweetness of the moment was as he was weeping. And I said, would you like to ask Jesus to save you? He says, I want to do it. And as he prayed, and then I prayed after him, and I said, now, if something happened and you died of a heart attack right now, where are you going to go? According to this book. He thought for a moment, he says, I'll go to heaven. I said, absolutely right. I said, now you're a little baby and you got to grow. But you're going to have to put some things away and God's going to help you. Because it's not going to help you grow, it'll help destroy you. I said, I'm going to get you a discipleship book. I'm going to get you through some discipleship. I'm going to try and plug you into a church because that's times that I wish I was there for a while. So we've got the phone, but it's nothing like being face to face. Hey, listen, one of these days, we celebrate his birth. We celebrate everything, but one of these days, we are going to be face to face with our Savior. No more pain, no more hurt. What a day that's going to be. Amen. But if the Lord came today, as I told him, you're either going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. And God doesn't want you to go here. He wants you to go here. Amen. And I'm telling you the same message. You don't have to go to hell. You just need to confess he is the Savior. Amen. He is Lord. You have to believe. Confess your sins, repent of them, and ask God to save your soul. I remember the first time I told him that on the phone, he says, that's hard. I said, no, we make it hard. It's simple. Yeah. It's simple. And I'm telling you, you've been trying to do it on your own. You're not going to make it. Amen. You need Jesus. Amen. And God loves you. Amen. Most well-known verse in all the Bible, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you need to do is come to Jesus. And those of us who are saved, we need to stop playing games. And we need to get serious about our life. Because the way we live reflects upon our Savior. We either bring honor and glory to his name or we bring shame. And I would have to say that many of God's people today are bringing shame to the name of Christ. By living the way they want to and expecting God to bless them anyway. And it's not going to happen. This is a great opportunity for us to let him shine through us. If there's anything in your life, you know, I'll close with this illustration. When I was growing up, there are times that our power went out and we had some kerosene lamps around our house. We even did this even after we got married. We got kerosene lamps around so whenever there was a power outage, we could go light those lamps. You know what? If you don't keep those lamps clean, you can't see too well. You can put that book or whatever it is right up next to it and you're not going to see nothing because there's a lot of filth inside of that globe. So you got to take the globe off. Got to clean it up and the light shines through. It's the same thing with our life. If we keep sin in our life, it just keeps sooting up our life from the inside to where the light does not shine. And what we need to do is we need to come to God and ask for forgiveness and let God cleaned the globe up so our light can shine. It's what you and I are responsible for doing. Nobody else can do it for us. He's already saved us. Now he wants to bless in our life if we'll serve him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a couple of questions just so I can know how to pray, and I'm not doing this to embarrass anybody. I wonder if there's anyone here today who say, Brother Wagoner, I am not 100% sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. I really don't know. I'm not sure. And I would like to make sure. I would like to know for sure. So I want to lift up my hand and ask you, would you pray for me? I am not 100% sure. Would you pray for me? I want to find out. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Anybody like that this morning? Just lift your hand and say, I'm not 100% sure. Please pray for me. I won't embarrass you, won't come to you, but I will pray for you. Don't have to know your name. I just pray for you. No heads up, every head bowed, every eye closed. This is private time. I won't stay here a long time. Anybody like that this morning? I'm not 100% sure. Would you pray for me? Then my next question is this, and I pray that's the case. I pray everybody here is saved and a born-again believer. My next question is this. Are there those today who would say, the globe of my life is dirty, and I need to get it cleaned up, and I need God to clean up that globe, and I need to bring my life. I need to come and meet with him. I need to take care of some sin in my life. I need to take care of some things so I can serve him the way he wants me to. Brother Wagoner, would you pray for me? My life is not what it ought to be. God's not happy with my life right now. I'm not pleasing Jesus. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Just lift up your hand and put it back down. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Hey, this is not a game. This is serious. It's about our life. It's about our walk with God. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. I see those over here. Yes, thank you. Yes. Hey, I'm just acknowledging your hand. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment, but it's an opportunity for you to do something about it. I can't do it for you. God wants to meet with you, and God wants to forgive you, and he wants to cleanse you. Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is making the globe clean. Anybody else? Say, Brother Wagoner, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I know there's some things that are not right with God in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come before you and we are thankful for the honor today to preach your word. Thank you for your goodness, for your love. Thank you for our Savior. I pray now for these who have been very so honest this morning and have raised their hand and have asked for prayer, and I just want to lift them before you. They know there's some things that are wrong in their life. Their globe of their life is not clean. I wish I could do it for them, but I cannot. And so I pray that you'll give them the strength to step out where their seat is and just make their way to this altar and meet with you. Father, we want you to have the victory. So I pray for each one of them. And if there is somebody here today who's not sure they're going to heaven, I pray they'd come and grab the pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, and I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven. We just ask, Father, you'd have your will and your way in each life today. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As the piano plays,